I feel like as many times as we all have been mugged, and by that I mean being subjected to beer mug against our will, it's only fair that he got mugged in return.
This is funny because we sort of, this got lost in the shuffle when we went to New York. Uh-huh. We had a lot of stuff to do from New York, and we got back. We had some stuff to play. And Dave the King of Mexico reminded me that we do have beer mug getting taken for a ride in New York City, basically robbed.
Now, I don't know anything about this. Is this one of those guys on the street who's playing a shell game or something? Did he lose money like that? Is that what you're talking about?
Who was it, Muggs?
No, it was, in fact, I mean, we have the same guys in Hollywood that hang out on Hollywood Boulevard, the guys that are either trying to push their rap albums or their comedy CDs. And I was pushed both. Timbo King and Tiz.
Okay.
Were their names.
Now, what's happening is Beer Mug was doing, are you going to finish that? And the camera was following him around, and he was asking people if they're going to finish their food. Funny. But then these guys came up, and I didn't hear what they said first to Beer Mug. Before Beer Mug says, I love black guys.
Yeah.
But that's how the tape starts.
Yeah.
So what was it?
It was
Timbo and...
Yeah, Timbo King said... oh, man, that's a great shirt. I was wearing, like, a Rise Against shirt. He's, oh, that's a great shirt, my man. That's great. That's great. And I was kind of like, what I do here, I've encountered in Hollywood, I either just ignore or heads down, no thank you. But he kind of was cat. He was a charming young African-American gentleman. Very, very nice attitude.
Wow. How was your response? I love black guys.
Well, he said, don't be afraid. Come here. Come over here. Don't be afraid of black people. And I said, I love, or don't be afraid of a black guy. I was like, oh, I love black guys.
And that's where the tape begins.
I love black guys.
Where are you from?
L.A.
I love black guys.
This guy's now interviewing Bugs.
What,
Compton?
No, I wish.
Now, I'd like to stop right there. I love black guys. Are you from Compton? I wish.
You're really trying a little bit too hard here, Bugs. And I apologize for still not understanding the setup. These guys are doing what on the street?
They are selling their CDs. And
okay.
They're asking for money, but they're going to give them a CD. But the money is negotiable, as you
understood.
Will hear.
All right.
So let's go back to the beginning because this happened so fast. I love black guys. And you live in Compton. I wish.
I wish.
I love black
guys.
Where are you from?
L.A.
What part? Compton?
No, I wish.
Don't we all?
Everybody wishes they lived in Compton.
Muggs, you know that you could move to Compton, right? It's within your power to live in Compton, although I guess you'd have to get your parents to move there since you live with them.
Yeah, were you afraid of them?
Well, what happened was...
Be honest.
No, here's the thing, Kevin. I was taken off guard. I wasn't really prepared. Since I was going up to random strangers all day asking them if they were going to finish that. So my guard was just way down.
Right.
And he captivated me. But at that point, I was like,
when he said you're from Compton, you said, I wish.
I wish.
Did you, in your mind, go, why did I just
say
that?
Yeah, exactly. I really was not thinking clearly at that point.
I wish.
You look like a Compton guy. For you, my comedy album, man. What's your name?
Johnny.
I call you Jay Swag.
Awesome, man.
Any donations for my comedy album.
All right, so he's asking for any donation for his comedy album.
And okay. I like this guy, by the way. He's hustling.
Yeah.
Right.
He was captivating. So
I think Muggs got in love just a little bit.
You think so?
Instantly.
I think there's a little bit of a man crush going on here. Muggs is thinking, if I were cool enough to have this black guy as my friend, it would be so awesome.
Because he loves black people and he wishes he lived in Compton. So the guy's asking for money. Now, here's the amateur move. This is where Beer Mug is just an idiot.
Big time.
What Beer Mug does is reaches into his pocket and pulls out all of the money in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's not negotiating a price. He's not donating to the guy. He hasn't figured it out ahead of time. He's just pulling out what he has.
Yeah.
At which point the guys say, thank you very much.
We get up to 20 per album, but whatever you can get. Cool, oh, you have the 20, man. Support, man.
Thank you, brother.
This is how Jay-Z started, man. Support, man.
All right, so support, man. So this is how Jay-Z started. Support. So they took the 20 out of your hand.
Right out of my hand. And right. It wasn't even like, oh, let me, you know. It was right out of my hand. And when I reached into my pocket to grab the cash, Kevin, I knew I had pulled the number one rookie move. It was just, I just pulled all my cash. He's going to see all my cash. And now I can't say, oh, I only have this much.
Of course.
And now but the funny thing
because
was.
Because you could say, you had how much money? 22?
It was $22.
Okay, so you could have said, I only have $2.
I know. But those $2 were wrapped in with the 20. So,
all right. So the guy takes it. At least he says thank you very much.
Right.
He takes $20.
Right.
Thank you. Is that cool?
He should say thank you very much. He just made $20 for 5 seconds of work.
We try to get it to 10 to 20 per hour.
Okay, that's cool.
We'll split it up 10,
perfect, 10. Perfect.
All right, so now they're going to split it 10, 10. Perfect, perfect.
Right.
And then they realize that he's got two more dollars.
Oh, no. 10,
10? 10?
Yeah, you have two albums.
Okay.
So hey, wear a condom.
You're the two.
So, it's hard to hear, but the guy says, take the two.
They just took it right
and
out of
And they
my
just
hands.
Took all of it.
This is unbelievable. You're just standing there laughing like an idiot.
That was my nervous, dumb crap. I just
got wrong. But you love black people, though, Muggs. How do you reconcile that in your mind? You just got shaken down.
So the guy takes a 20, and then they size up Muggs as the kind of guy that they can just go ahead and reach in and take the other
two. Did they take
your
shoes, too?
Almost. He literally, I was standing there with the $2 in my hands, like with a dumb look on my face, just grabbed it
he
right
He did the
out
right thing.
Oh, my God.
As soon as you didn't put that money back in your pocket, he did the right thing. He took it.
I got bitched.
I'm surprised they didn't take your Rise Against shirt.
I did like that so much.
You got mugged.
Is there a God? Is there life on other planets? These are the kinds of questions that we like to ponder.
And all of those questions are easier to answer than how do you cancel AOL?
Lisa, you used to have AOL.
I did used to have AOL.
How'd that go when you decided maybe you were ready to move on to greener pastures?
Well, I heard how hard it was to get off of AOL.
Right.
I'd heard that from a lot of people. So
they have detox centers.
I did. I did go online to try to find out how I could do it online, and right. I couldn't find any place to do it.
You mean they don't have if you want to cancel AOL, here's the number?
They didn't have. Well, I thought I could just do it online,
right,
first
of, course.
Of all, but
sure.
You can't. There's
you can't
no
cancel
place.
It.
You have to talk to somebody
you
if you want
to,
okay?
Someone. And then there's no phone number. You can search the AOL website far and wide. There's no phone number to call.
Isn't
to cancel.
That interesting?
So what do you do if you want to cancel?
I went, I did a search for cancel AOL, and I found people's blogs and their stories and stuff, and they listed the phone number. I don't know where they got it. But and then I read all about how they did it, what they said to the person.
No kidding.
And I kind of followed the script, and I called the number, and I was able to do it. But the guy was really so crazy persistent. It was insane.
It's like the Da Vinci Code. You had to follow all these different codes and figure out how to get through.
I guess they figure that a lot of people will just quit trying because it's too hard. Or
obviously.
They'll just go, well, I was going to cancel, but now I don't know how to, so I guess I'll just continue to use it or something. And that's how they make their money is charging you every month. So.
I probably hung on 6 months longer than I would have.
Yeah.
Just
wow.
Knowing how hard it was going to be.
Well, that's a story that I've heard many times over the years. And it's back in the news this week. And I don't have anything in front of me on this. Do you know where this guy was from?
Someplace. Okay. Some dude with
this
a phone.
Some dude, someplace with a phone who was in the same spot that Lisa was, finally was able to track down that elusive phone number and tried to cancel his AOL. And here's what happened.
Hi, this is John at AOL. How may I help you today?
I want to cancel my account.
Sorry to hear that. But pull your account up here real quick. Can I have your name, please?
Vincent Ferrari.
Been this account for a long time?
Yep.
This is quite a bit. What was causing you to turn this off today?
I just don't use it anymore.
Do you have a high-speed connection, like the DSL or cable?
Yep.
How long have you had that? The
years.
High-speed?
Years.
Well, actually, I'm showing a lot of usage on this account.
Yeah, a long time ago. Not recently.
Well, okay. I mean, is there a problem with the software itself?
No, I don't use it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I just don't need it anymore.
Okay. So when you use this, I mean, use the computer, I'm saying. That for business or for
Dude, what for difference school? Does it make? I don't want the AOL account anymore. Can we please cancel it?
Last year was 540. Last month was 545 hours of usage.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well, explain to me why...
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
Well, what's the matter, man? So, I mean, I'm just trying to help here.
You're not helping me. You're helping me with...
Yeah, I am trying to...
Helping
okay.
me... Listen, I called to cancel the account. Helping me would be canceling the account. Please help me and cancel
No, it wouldn't,
account.
Actually.
Cancel
Turn
my
off
account.
Your account.
Cancel the account.
The worst thing that...
Cancel the account.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to figure it out.
Cancel the account. I don't know how to make this any clearer for you. Cancel the account. When I say cancel the account, I don't mean help me figure out how to keep it. I mean cancel the account.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what anybody's done to you, Vincent.
Could you please cancel the account?
All right. Someday,
When you calm down, you're going to realize all I was trying to do was help you, and it was actually in your best interest to listen.
Wonderful. Okay.
That sounds like a joke. Come on, the guy.
That guy was trying to get him pissed off to hang up so he wouldn't cancel the account.
That was unbelievable how many times he had to say that.
Do we have that number? Because I can't believe that's for real.
You don't think it takes that long to cancel
the
account?
No.
I mean, how can it? Once you say you're out, then they don't have any choice. You're legally, they have to cancel you. They can't wrestle you for an hour, can they? Let's dial it up because that just sounds like somebody's having us on there. I don't know.
I bet those guys get paid every time they talk you out of it.
Yeah, no kidding. I bet you're right. Probably get money taken out of their paycheck for everyone who cancels.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for calling the AOL Automated Service Network.
Oh, automated is even better.
We here at AOL believe that you belong.
Right.
And while you're on hold, think about upgrading to AOL High Speed for broadband. We think everybody should be fast. Don't you?
We'd like...
Please hold for your menu of selections.
Okay. That was a recording.
It's better, though. It's better. You don't have to talk to somebody. That way they can't spend all your time trying to talk you out of it.
Plus, you get to listen to the snappy music.
Yeah. Why can they ever get better music?
Hello, and thank you for calling AOL's Automated Service Network.
Hi, we'd like to cancel.
We give you four choices. One, if you'd like to upgrade to high-speed AOL for broadband, press 1.
Nope, no.
Two, if you have a comment or suggestion for AOL, press 2.
No.
Three, if you'd like to pay your bill over the phone, press 3.
How about a cancel?
If you'd like to cancel, press 4.
What?
I'm sorry, can we hear that?
I'm sorry, you pressed 4. That must have been an accident.
No.
That's for canceling your AOL account.
Right.
We'll give you another chance. For 1, press 1.
What?
For 2.
I don't even understand that. What do you mean for 1, press 1?
To upgrade your AOL account to high speed, press 1.
No, we just want 4.
For a comment or suggestion,
hit 4 again.
Two.
Just hit 4 again. Let's get
to
past
pay your
this
bill,
menu.
Press 3. You pressed 44.
No.
That's nothing.
I pressed 4.
44 is not an option.
I pressed 4
several
times.
Here are your choices. 1, to upgrade for broadband.
I know what upgrade.
One.
Come on.
Right. 2, for
just
a comment
Kevin,
or suggestion,
hit 4
press
just
two.
Once. Just okay. Hit it once.
To pay your bill, press 3. Hey, what are you doing?
Canceling.
You hit 4 again.
Right.
That's to cancel your AOL account.
Right.
That's insane. Nobody wants to cancel AOL.
We do.
We're the best internet provider on the internet.
Cancel us.
To take it back, press 5.
No, we don't want to take it back. How do we continue? How do we continue?
If you'd like to upgrade to broadband,
no!
Press 2. A comment suggestion, press... Okay, you want to quit AOL.
Yes.
All right, here are your choices.
All right. Okay, finally.
If you've come to your senses and realize you don't want to quit AOL, press 1.
No, that's not it at all.
If you realize what a horrible mistake you've made in deciding to quit AOL, press 2.
No, we want to quit.
If you'd like some time to think about it, maybe sleep on it overnight, press 3.
We called to cancel.
If you'd like to get a new AOL account, press 4.
No.
If you'd like to sign up friends and neighbors for AOL, press 5.
What about canceling?
If you decided you really want to cancel,
yes.
Hang up.
Hang up. That won't work.
All right, press 6.
She has one of the most popular songs of the year on K-Rock right now called Habits Stay High from her debut EP from earlier this year. New album is coming out called Queen of the Clouds on September the 30th. Please welcome Tove Lo to the Kevin Bean Show here.
Hey.
Hi. Do we call you Tove or do we call you Tove Lo?
Well, you can call me Tove. That's my name. Okay. Tove Lo is my nickname and now also my artist name.
Okay, fantastic. Well, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. It's nice to finally meet you.
Well,
how are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm great. It's early, but I'm still feeling great.
Yes, it is early. We apologize for that. Nothing we can do about
that's
that.
Right.
We have a lot of bands, artists, singers come in, and all of them are miserable about the time of day.
Yeah.
Because your schedule is the exact opposite. So
yeah, it's just that, really.
Like, of course.
No, well, thanks for having me.
Sure.
This has been quite a busy summer for you with the way your record has taken off. Have you been all over America? It seems like you've been doing nothing but traveling.
Yeah, it's been kind of living out of a suitcase for the past few months, which has been really amazing. Like, I have my band with me from Sweden, too, and we've just, all over Europe, all over the States. It's been amazing.
Are you seeing any of America, or is it just fly in, do your thing, and leave?
Well, kind of fly in, do our thing, and leave, but we try to at least, go out or do something in every city we're in. So We started this one thing where we kind of we go for a run as well in the city we're in, so just get a little bit of sightseeing for really at least a few miles.
Really quick sightseeing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this harbor's nice. Okay, let's run back.
I just am picturing you and your band just running down the street going, hey, look, it's the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Oh, look over there. It's the sign. Hey, it's the Chinese Theater. You just never stopped to look at any of it.
That's kind of how it is, yeah. Because we compete, too, when we're running. So it's like, yeah.
Oh, you compete when you're running. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Had you, you should start playing when you run. Now that would, now you
that
got
would be
something.
A challenge, yeah.
Had you been to the United States before you became a recording artist?
Well, I did a lot of songwriting as well, so I was here on a few of those trips too before I came here.
What is that like as a songwriter? I mean, it's got to be sort of weird, like you're trying to sell people on the idea of this song.
Well, it depends on at the beginning. It's like that when you don't have like a relationship with any artists whatsoever. Right. You're really just going through the publisher, and there's so many steps to really get. You can get very disappointed.
Like, I would imagine.
First of all, you're going to find your people to write a good song with, and then your publisher has to like it, and then they will pitch it to the label who pitches it to the artist, and then the artist will like it and then record it, and then it might still not end up on the album. So it's a long, you know.
Wow.
But as soon as you get, you know, maybe comfortable with a few artists and you start working more with them, it's more of a... Like a really, really amazing collaboration. I mean, I really enjoyed it. So
it must be so strange for you and other Swedish artists to come to the United States and hear how many songs are on the radio that come out of your country originally. I mean, you guys, it seems like, are writing about half of the pop music that's on the air right now.
It's kind of crazy, actually. I met up with a friend the other day called Rickard Göransson, who's a writer from Sweden too. He was part of writing that Bang Bang song.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And we were sitting there, and when I jumped in the car. First, Habits came on, and then Bang Bang, and then another song by Max Martin. And we were like, come on! It was really funny.
Now, your music is, it's unusual in that it's multi-format in this country. I mean, you're played on so many different kinds of radio stations, and obviously that was a decision you make. You're very familiar with pop music. You could have just made a pop music song, but you made something that also appeals to rock folks. Tell me about how you decided what your songs were going to sound like.
Well, that's the thing where I kind of didn't until I just I had a lot of help from my producers back in Sweden called the Struts that really helped create the sound. So I basically come with them with songs and demos. And I think maybe what speaks to the rock audience as well is the lyrics, and that they're kind of rough and maybe not as polished as a lot of pop stuff can be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to be a rock girl, so.
Now, how many songs do you write? Are you one of those people that writes 100 and cuts it down to 12, or do you write 12 and do 12?
I think I used to be more of like a machine. Like, I used to write all the time with a lot of different people, just kind of, you kind of have to do your lap of, just to get the experience of writing and getting comfortable and kind of knowing what you love and like, because I haven't done it for that long. And I think when I, but once I started finding and like understanding what I like when it comes to my own stuff, then I really, it's rare that it doesn't turn out good when I write now by myself for something, but I write more rarely than I used to. Like, I always write lyrics all the time, constantly, but to finish a song might take me longer than it used to.
But you have a higher success rate now when you start. Yeah, I understood.
Rate, yeah.
This is the voice of Tove Lo here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's going to be performing live in a few minutes. She's our guest for a couple more moments. I wanted to ask you about Habits Stay High, because is that the kind of song that a lot of people bring their own interpretation to? Like, some think it's pro-drug, some think it's anti-drug, some look at it as it's all metaphors, it's not about drugs at all. Do you find a lot of interpretations when people speak to you about that song?
Yeah, very different. I mean, there's all these people that are just like, oh, I love your song, Stay High, it's all my life, you know, I love staying high.
I'm high all the time.
Exactly. And I'd be like, yeah, good for you. And then there's people that are just like, oh, you know, I just really can relate to the heartbreak part of it. And some people are like, do you feel like you're a good role model, really? And I was like, no, I didn't really think about that when I wrote it. Sorry. But I think that's the way with any kind of song. Like, people will relate to it in their way. And I think that's kind of part of, that's the beautiful part of it. Like, they'll just pick whatever they feel they can relate to. And then,
well, it makes me want to get high. I know that.
Yeah, there you go.
That's just the way I take it.
Your video, which has been a smash hit on the internet since the day it came out, I think some people like it because they want to see how – they try to count how many people you kiss in the video.
Yeah.
Who were these people that you're making out with nonstop in this video? Were they – did you incorporate friends in or did you have a casting call? How did you choose who you were going to kiss?
Stand on the street corner?
Yeah, like, hey, guy, you over there. No, they're just my friends. Like one of them is my best friend and – the blonde girl, and it's actually just three people. Just three people.
Oh,
and,
really? The way it's cut, it's hard to tell how many, because there's a lot of close-ups, you know?
Yeah. No, it's the three of them, and they were really being good sports, just agreeing to make out with me.
So you go to your best friend, and you say, okay, I'm shooting a video, let's make out.
Yeah. Well, she was like, oh, that sounds so fun, let's do it. And then she asked her friend, who I knew a little bit, who was a long friend, and the guy I've known for a few years, too, and he was like, yeah, sure, he's a bit crazy. So.
I think I want to party with you, I'm pretty sure I want to party with you.
That's how it always ends. So, yeah.
Now, we asked you where you were going today, what your plans were, and you said you were going to Las Vegas.
Yes. You should come.
Don't tell me. Because I will.
Good.
And we asked you if you gambled, and you said no, because why?
Because I party.
You party. Okay. So that makes
She's already busy. She's doing so many hours in the day, Kevin. Come on. I love that your song is Habits and then your new song is Not on Drugs. So it is kind of weird that you're sending mixed messages to us, Tove, is what you're doing.
I know. I'm getting everybody so confused. We're like, pick a path, stay there, and then either you're on drugs or you're not. No.
The album is going to be called Queen of the Clouds. It's going to be available on September the 30th. And you're actually going to be back in Southern California because you are playing the Sunset Strip Music Festival,
yes.
Which sounds like a super fun lineup, by the way. Jane's Addiction and Cold War Kids and the Kaiser Chiefs and Mayor Hawthorne. I mean, there's so many good bands on there. That's a fun lineup.
I'm really excited. Really excited to play.
Two different days, Saturday, September 20th and Sunday, September 21st.
That's right. Tickets are available for that if you want to see Tove Lo live and in person at ssmf.com. That sounds vaguely dirty, like that shouldn't be their website address. SSMF.com. All right, you want to head into the other room and we'll play some music here? What do you think?
Sounds good.
Fantastic. Live music next.
All right, the album is called Queen of the Clouds. It comes out September 30th, and Tove Lo is here, and you're going to perform live. Let's have it.
Come on.
That was crazy. That was
fantastic. There's no way that was live. I know we just saw it with our own eyes, but there's no way that we weren't just listening to the record. Come on. That was incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That was fantastic.
That sounded so good, you guys. What's the, what's, I don't know if Tove can hear me or not, Kevin. What's the setup in that room? How many musicians are we talking about here?
One, two, three. Three musicians and she's singing.
That's unbelievable.
Two of the guys are on percussion.
Tove Lo is our guest. You can see
she
her live.
She said, by the way, that I could play the cowbell if I felt like I needed to.
Are you going to jump in if
needed?
I don't
know. It just feels – we'll see.
See her live at the 2014 Sunset Strip Music Festival in September, September 20th and 21st. Go to SSMF.com. The album is going to be coming out on September 30th called Queen of the Clouds. I think we got time for one more if you do, Tove.
I do, for sure.
Fantastic. Tove Lo.
That's astonishing.
Right?
That is so great. So okay. Great.
What I'm saying is, come on.
So impressive. Thank you, Tove Lo. Oh, gosh, we enjoyed meeting you.
Oh, me too. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for
it's really fun. Come back and see us again. That's Tove Lo right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. About 5 minutes away or so from getting you on the standby boarding list for the trip to San Francisco, KROQ Road Trip USA 2013 Outside Lands Festival with Red Hot Chili Peppers in Phoenix, Nine Inch Nails, Vampire Weekend, and more. Again, 5 minutes from right now. We'll let you know when to call.
We have a brand new internet roundup at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. You can just click on Kevin and Bean. You can see all of these videos. But one really does require a little extra time.
And because you're in love. That's why.
I'm so in love. I wish this was my neighbor so much. There's an argument going on between two old ladies One of them looks like a church-going lady. The other one looks like she lives in under a tunnel.
That's true.
Which one do you think Kevin loves?
I love the tunnel. Do you think Kevin loves the calm, reasonable one?
No.
Or do you think he loves the crazy drunk swearing one?
I love crazy drunk old woman. She's taking rhubarbs.
Rhubarb.
From what looks like a little piece of a garden from a property that's sort of on the alley side of the fence. So it could be argued that it's in the alley, but it's clearly this person's property and they're growing these plants.
Yeah.
And this woman is stealing the rhubarb. She's taking it. And the woman from the house comes out and says, hey, you know, that's my rhubarb. Stop doing this. And
perfectly reasonable comment to make if somebody is basically plundering your vegetable garden.
Right. But the woman that's on the ground taking the rhubarb is possessed by Satan.
She's getting it as fast as she can.
And she, every other word is a curse word, and she yells. It's the strangest thing you've ever seen. You have to go to Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup and check it out. Here's a little bit of crazy yelling woman.
You Pinocchio tell somebody your own business.
Why don't you hold your own?
This is not your property. Go somewhere else.
No, this is not my property.
You go mind your own business.
No, you just don't know what's right or wrong, do you?
You're
like to steal.
You stick your nose in everybody's business. This is goddamn alley property, bitch.
By the way, I keep thinking of, remember that 80s movie, Throw Mama from the Train? Remember that?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Ed!
Oh, yeah. That little, like. Yeah, she does. She totally does. But both are crazy, and the proper lady doesn't know how to argue either. She's annoying.
That voice. It's really annoying.
Oh, no, it's not yours. Why don't you love it? They're both annoying, but I choose crazy Satan-possessed woman.
No, it's not.
Just don't have your name on it. Where's your name, bitch?
So now she's looking at the rhubarb plants and she's saying, where is your name on the rhubarb plant?
That's an excellent point, by the way.
It doesn't even make sense.
Look, if these were your rhubarbs, wouldn't your name be on them?
Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name?
Where's my name?
Where's your f***ing name on this alley property, bitch?
Where's yours?
This isn't anybody that wants to pick it. Yes, it is.
Okay, if it's anybody's property, why don't you come up here and mow it?
Oh, no, she didn't.
Oh, snap.
Because this is, by the way, it's the old lady's mom's property. I don't even know if the old lady's mom is alive, but yeah, it's, apparently it gets mowed. And she wants to know if it's her property, why doesn't she mow it? And crazy Satan-possessed woman.
Because my landowner is still a bitch by a f***ing pig.
Oh, yeah, right. Did you ever ask my mom who
this was? Isn't hers.
Yes, it is.
What the hell?
No, you.
No, you.
It's the best argument ever because go to hell, no, you.
Oh, that's strong.
I'm not sure kind woman is getting over it like she wants to either. You know, like, no, you, really?
Go mind your own business.
Oh, no.
This isn't your property.
Can I ask you something?
Let's get something F off. She's the best. She goes to the Kevin School of Arguing. That's why I love her so much.
He's trying to claim everything.
You'd like to steal from
me? Yes, I think from stealing.
Yeah,
anybody
can
take anything from taking anything from me.
Are they coming?
Go back inside.
No.
You're a trouble. Come on, don't call me sweetheart, honey, man. What are you, lazy? Get out of my booth.
So wait, now, did she just accuse the neighbor of being a lesbian because she was asking her not to steal her fruit?
No, she made the mistake of calling old Satan-possessed woman sweetheart. And she said, don't call me sweetheart.
Oh, my God. why do you think your girlfriend talks like that? Do you think
I don't know.
Or do you think that this is just what she sounds like when she gets mad? Do you think she talks like that all the
time? Is she one of those women that, like, smoked too much and has a hole in her neck? I don't know. It's really disturbing on a lot of levels.
Hey, man! Go back inside, bitch.
Have some
coffee, you drunk as a skunk.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh, no, she didn't. Now she's saying a proper woman is drunk as a skunk, and cameraman has to speak up now.
Oh, that's funny. She don't even drink, lady.
Yeah, that's why she gave
her
trouble.
Dude, I was the first one out the door, so shut your goddamn mouth.
Shut your goddamn mouth. Why don't you go back in there and lose some weight, you big fat ass?
I want to marry her.
Why don't you get a job?
Property. You.
Oh, bitch, touch me.
I will.
And then I'll press charges on your goddamn ass.
Oh,
that way we are pro.
Look,
we even got an audience watching this now.
Go right ahead.
No, look. They're down to
question. You've given me trouble before, bitch. You don't own this.
Neither do you.
I'm in love.
USA! USA! USA!
KROQ.com or KevinAndBean.com for the Internet Roundup. That's just one of them.
Ronda Rousey talks UFC 170 coming up later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, well, apparently something to do with depressed penguins. And I don't even know. I don't even think I want to know about that. I don't want my penguins to be sad.
No.
We'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Here's a story that centers around America's number one film right now, the Lego Movie. Anyone see that yet, the Lego Movie?
I have not. I wanted to, but the times didn't work out. Looks good.
You should go see it. By all accounts, it is a fantastic movie and just hilarious. And apparently Will Arnett, doing the voice of Batman, just steals the movie. But it looks great. Well, the villain in this movie is a guy named Lord Business. He's, you know, we've seen this in lots and lots of different movies. He's the evil rich guy who's tried to screw over the poor people that we relate to and root for in the film, right?
Right, right.
And I don't think the point is that everybody who runs a business is automatically evil, but the character in the Lego Movie does happen to run a business and does happen to be evil. But that's not the way Fox News sees it. And they recently did a whole segment on how Hollywood is anti-business. And you're going to think that we made this up, but this is real tape right off the Fox News channel.
Hollywood pushing its anti-business message to our kids. First, it was the Muppets movie. Remember, they used an oil baron as the enemy. A year later, it was the Lorax, casting environmentalists against anyone who dared to create a new business. And, well, now it's the Lego Movie with the villain named President Business. Take a listen to him.
Would you cancel my 2 o'clock? This next meeting could run a little bit deadly.
Hollywood has long been dominated by the far left, which is very anti-capitalist. And we've seen these movies over the decades. I think about It's a Wonderful Life, where Mr. Potter, the banker, is considered the villain in that movie. Do you think, I mean, for Hollywood, it's all about the bottom line. So they will hire a Republican star like Sylvester Stallone or Bruce Willis if they think that they can carry a movie and make money. What is the purpose of trying to indoctrinate kids in a movie? I mean, I guess they believe this movie is going to make a lot of money. So no matter what, they can embed these kinds of anti-capitalist messages and get away with it.
You're defending
Mr.
Potter?
Well, the thing is,
yeah.
Kidding.
Wait, hold on. That's real?
Wait, go ahead.
Yes, Lisa?
No, you go ahead.
Mr. Potter is the slumlord in It's a Wonderful Life, who's basically trying to crush everyone in town and make them live in their crappy houses that
he
builds.
So what Fox News says is true.
Well, he is an evil villain, but again, just because you have a rich guy as an evil villain doesn't mean that you're saying that all rich people are evil. That's the disconnect here, I think, in this argument.
Here, by the way, that argument, not strong enough. So somebody wrote a letter to the editor of the Wall Street Journal, and in that he says, I would call attention to the parallels of fascist Nazi Germany to its war on its 1%, namely the Jews, to the progressive war on the American 1%, namely the rich.
It's exactly the same. Rounding up the Jews to put in ovens is the same as making fun of a rich person in a Lego movie.
That's true.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. Maybe there is another side of the story that we're just not seeing. So we asked Dave if you could line somebody up, and I believe we have Charles Emerson Clark. He's on the phone. He is a spokesperson for an organization called the Rich Americans Against Persecution. Is that right, Mr. Clark?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I mean, you're probably a guy who makes $1 million a minute, so this is very valuable for you to give us a little bit of your time today.
Yes, I am losing money while I'm speaking with you. Hmm. Hold on a second.
All right.
Oh, no, I just made some more. That's okay.
So what are we not hearing about this? Because we listened to that tape on Fox, and it sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit where they're parodying intelligent people and their thoughts.
Well, it's easy to dismiss, but in reality, that is absolutely true. Being a rich person in America is now like being a Jew in Germany in the 1930s.
That's dumb.
That is absolutely correct. Not that it's dumb, but that is right.
I see. How is it like that?
Those of us here at RAP, R-A-A-P, the Rich Americans Against Persecution, mm-hmm. and please don't confuse it, it's the good RAP, not the other one.
What's wrong with you?
The fact that we're being persecuted, and if you don't pay attention now, sure, they may be coming for our Bentleys now, but next it'll be for your crappy Prius or whatever it is that you drive.
Okay.
So keep in mind that once all the rich people are rounded up, then only poor people will be left to
do things. How are rich people being rounded up? Rich people are living in a country where they have the ability to make billions of dollars. How is that you being persecuted against?
Because everyone's picking on us.
Does it hurt your
feelings?
Yes,
it does. And, you know, this climate we live in under this socialist dictator, right. President Barack Obama.
Right. Oh, the African?
Yes. The Somali pirate,
right.
Barack Obama.
He's not a Somali
pirate.
Oh,
I'm the president now. He said that. He came to the White House with a gun. He said, I'm the president now.
That's not what happened.
It happened. I saw it.
That's not how it happened.
I saw Fox News at a special on it.
I see. Okay. All right. You were saying.
And now he's trying to make us all out. Oh, these billionaires, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bail them out so they don't have to suffer any losses. That's bad?
Well, people tend to not. I mean, it's people's tax money that they're using to help.
And then he says that, and then people suddenly angry at us because they're unemployed and we're still rich. Come on.
What does that mean? Come on.
Stop
if you're
it.
Unemployed, that's stop it.
Yeah. And we're underrepresented in Congress. Did you know only over half of the people in Congress are millionaires? Only over half.
That sounds like a lot.
Only over half. What we need is 100% of Congress to be made up of millionaires.
But then no one will represent the little guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm missing your point. Yeah, so, right, yes, and, good, right, so, and, well, plus, yes, as well, tambien, y tú.
Right, so I'm saying maybe we need people to represent both sides. No?
Oh, you're cute.
You all right?
I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm right here.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin DeBean Show at 608.
I haven't been to krock.com yet to look at the video. Have
it's
you guys?
Awesome.
Do I just disappear?
No, you fall.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that. You can really see it.
So, Lisa, you weren't there. You were gone.
I was in my car.
All right. Muggs, you weren't there.
I was not.
Dave, you were there.
I was there. Yeah.
Here's what happened. Last night was the second night of the Acoustic Christmas Show, and the idea was, and I don't know who hatched this, but because it was special, 25 years, the idea was that all of the DJs at K-Rock would come out on stage together.
Right.
And everybody that could make it, that we could get, there were a few that were missing. You know, Sluggo wasn't there and some others, but we were going to come out on stage. Jimmy Kimmel joined us. Of course, he was on the Kevin and Bean Show for 5 years. He came out, and the plan was that he was going to introduce us, Kevin and Bean, and then our plan was we were going to introduce everybody else on stage and then give the mic to Rodney to bring No Doubt on stage.
Sounds like a solid plan to me.
Sounds like a pretty good plan. So we're backstage and we're all getting ready to go on. And by the way, we got a great photo. We got a post of us with No Doubt right before they went on stage. It was so fun to see them. So Kevin and I are talking. That's the plan. And Kevin, you says to me, What happens if I don't know somebody's name? What happens if I blank if that's the plan?
Yeah, you thought I was kidding, right?
I totally thought you were kidding.
Nope.
Because Kevin knows all the people that work at K-Rock, right?
Right.
Okay. So we go out on stage, and Kevin, you had a little different vantage point than I did. What's your memory of what happened while we were out on stage? It started off okay. Jimmy was at the front of the stage, and
right.
He threw it to us.
Right.
Then what happened?
And then we started going down the line and introducing everybody.
I'm like, hey, from Loveline, there's Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood. And you're like, hey, there's Kat Corbett. And I'm like, hey, there's Nicole Alvarez. And you're like, hey, there's Jet the Fish.
And now I'm counting, and I'm like, I don't know Ruben's name. This is going to be bad.
So we're standing on stage, and obviously the audience just wants No Doubt to come on.
Right.
Right? And I realize, I turn around and look back, and I realize that Kevin has no idea who Ruben is, who's one of the overnight people that works here in Carrick. He's worked here a long time.
I know. I feel terrible, but I just didn't.
So I turn around, and I look to see why you're not talking. And I see it's Ruben. And I see it's Ruben. So
yeah.
I say, Kevin, you know who that is? That's Ruben. He's worked for us for 10 years. And at that moment, I'm facing the line of DJs behind us. So my back is to the audience.
Right.
And Dr. Drew says to me, because he's right in front of me, hey, the audience is out there. So I turn to face the audience, and that's when I stepped to my left, and that's when I fell off the stage and fell 5 feet and landed in a hole. Basically beneath the stage. And I'm laying there, and there's a lot that's going on that I'll go through. But one thing I noticed that isn't happening is Rodney isn't saying, ladies and gentlemen,
right.
Put your hands together
right.
For No Doubt. So what happened there?
Well, I think he was freaked out by you falling. So then I looked at Rodney, and he wasn't saying anything. So I said, Rodney, introduce the band. And he's frozen. He started going,
Okay. No doubt. And at that point, Jed grabs the other microphone and goes out and just introduces the band.
Okay. And they still don't come out.
Right.
Because the guy who's supposed to give them the signal to come out on stage jumps into the hole to come down and see how I'm doing.
Right.
So there's nothing happening on stage.
Right.
And I assume the audience is just sitting there just waiting to see what's going to happen next, right? And I'm extremely conscious of this. And all I want is for No Doubt to come on stage so that the show goes on.
Right.
And that nobody's paying attention to whatever I'm doing. And that we can just get out of there without that being the
you
thing.
You fell off the stage.
Dude, I know.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
Time out, my friend. That's a timeout.
Right, but...
So the production guys that are supposed to keep the show going went down to help you.
Yes.
And then when I walked off the stage, Gwen said, "What's going on?" And now I thought, well,
yeah.
I don't want to tell her that Bean might be dead, so...
Because she's got a show to
right.
do.
She's right. got to go out and play. So I was like, oh, nothing, it's great. Go on out.
I didn't know so you're the one who said No Doubt on stage.
I didn't know what to say.
She said, I don't want to go out.
Did she say that?
Yeah, and then her boss, Mr. Weatherby, goes on and goes, hey, go out there and kill it. While everything's going on.
He was already over losing his morning show.
Oh, he was fine with that. Yeah.
Right, so everybody's been involved in a situation in their life like I had last night, maybe not exactly like that, where something happens. Maybe it's a car accident, or maybe it's just a fall, or it's somebody throwing something, and it's happening in slow motion. And you're aware of what's happening. And it's also very scary. Yeah. And that's what this was like. I mean, I'm conscious of falling the 5 feet to the ground. I'm conscious of hitting my tailbone on whatever it was on the floor. And it all – the first thing you think is, please tell me I can feel my toes. That's the very – look, we've all watched enough football to know how terrifying it is when somebody hits the ground. Because you hit the ground wrong – hey, the great Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Curtis Mayfield fell off a stage and was paralyzed for life. I mean, you can fall and hit it wrong. And that was the first thing that went through my mind is, oh, my God, please don't let me be paralyzed.
I thought if you had turned around and your face, you could see what was coming, it would have been a whole different thing. But
totally.
You fell backwards.
I fell absolutely on my back, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I was, you know, it was happening in slow motion, but a lot of things were happening at once, too. And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people around me, and they're doing exactly what they do in football, which is don't move.
Right.
And they're holding you tight, and they're putting you on a board so that they can take you out to the paramedics. And
I would like to say thank you to all the listeners, though, that felt that was their duty to film this and take photos of this.
Yes.
That was awesome.
It is well documented. It is well documented.
There's a video up at kevinandbean.com. You really have to watch it.
I'm going to watch it after this. I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it this morning, and I've watched it three times.
Yeah.
Watched it twice.
And now that you're okay, it's awesome.
Yeah. And it just hurts so bad, hitting your tailbone like that. It just hurts so bad. And I also tore up this arm right here and everything. But the paramedics, man, I mean, that's what they do. They're so great. I'm so grateful that they were there. And, you know, they got me into the ambulance and did all the vitals and everything like that. And slowly they kind of felt me up, by the way, like all over. Like they wanted to touch every part of my body to make sure it was all being responsive.
Yeah.
And believe me, I knew within a minute of laying down there, I didn't know how badly I was hurt, but I knew how incredibly lucky I was.
Yeah.
How incredibly lucky I was, because it just doesn't take much sometimes.
You hit your head the wrong way.
Yeah. And thank God I didn't hit my head.
Yeah.
Too.
It's a Kevin and Beer Mug show, you know?
And a lot of people would say that that's an improvement. Half the people that were on the stage with us didn't even see me fall, by the way, because they were looking someplace else, looking out at the crowd or looking for the band or,
They wouldn't even know what happened.
Or I was in the dark, and I guess I just vanished for some people.
You did. You just were gone.
I just fell apart. Dave, what was it like for you?
Well, I was at the side of the stage in the back, and I heard the sound, and I didn't know who fell. Because at that point, Drew had already jumped in, so I'm like, oh, man, who is it? Is it Drew or Mike or... I didn't even think it was you, and then sure enough, it was you.
Yeah. And then you were like, why am I surprised?
Of course.
It's so... Because he's accident prone.
Yeah. I'm not accident prone, first of all. I never get hurt.
Right. Man in the world.
I have to say, if you're going to fall like that, having Dr. Drew standing next to you is pretty cool.
And our friend Dr. Mo.
And Dr. Mo was there too, yeah. So I was definitely well taken care of.
I have audio. I don't know what this is. I think this is us on stage trying to get it to Rodney, trying to bring on the band. Let's hear it.
Rodney, what's next, my friend?
Like all right, here we go. What a place here.
Oh. Hear the crowd's like, whoa!
Yes. Who fell off the stage?
Oh, Jed, really?
like that.
I didn't know that at the time.
I didn't hear that.
That's the best thing ever.
So you can hear I'm throwing it to Rodney because no one's saying anything.
Right. And he still doesn't say anything. Jed finally just takes over and introduces the band.
Anyway.
You know, we have important rock and roll to conduct tonight.
This is where it all happens.
Well, please. Will you?
So you can hear Rodney's trying now. Not that Jed's talking. Rodney's talking.
Welcome. No doubt.
No doubt.
Thank you, Rodney. Thank you for that echo, Rodney.
Oh, my God.
Well, go to krock.com and see the video. You'll enjoy it.
You'll enjoy it many times.
Star of the Eric Andre Show. His name's Eric Andre,
by the way,
from Adult Swim, is going to be joining us later on Santa Carl next hour. And a visit from our old friend Jimmy Kimmel. Late Night TV's Jimmy Kimmel will be here as well. Hey, this is the time of a year where we like to look back on the year that was, and this is one of my favorite features that we do all year because we play a lot of audio on the show, sound bites, little drops of people talking and saying things and funny things that we play that we enjoy so much on the program. And once a year, it's nice to go back and see what were our favorites for the calendar year. So we present for you right now on our latest top 10 list, the top 10 sound bites of 2014.
Not quite right.
We're not.
I feel like that's not quite right.
All right. At number 10, this is has never been more appropriate than playing it this week. When we came back from last year's Christmas vacation, our first day back in 2014, I was on the air to tell you the story about how I fainted and broke three ribs.
That's right.
Falling into a radiator over Christmas vacation.
But you're not accident prone.
I am absolutely not accident prone, and I'm the healthiest guy you know. Mm-hmm. So, Kevin, you were pleased at that time back last January to debut this soundbite that we've been getting a lot of use out of this week after what happened at Acoustic Christmas. Number 10. It's our number 10 soundbite. And that's, in case you're wondering what it's like at my house every day, that's the sound that you hear at my house. Number 9 on the list. How do you choose from all of the great sound bites of Rodney Bingenheimer over
the
year?
Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible.
He's been on the show as much as I have this year.
He should have just his own category.
I agree. We should do the top 10 Rodney
groups.
I agree. But unfortunately, we only had room for one. And here is what the selection of for number 9 in the top 10 sound bites of 2014.
Ah.
I love that one. Because I'm not even sure what he means by that.
I'm afraid what's going on when I hear that clip. Number 8 on the list, and I want to thank the Kevin to Me listener who was kind enough to call the Afro line. I don't remember now what he was complaining about he had heard on the show, but he left us this gem that we have been able to use quite a bit.
That's great goddamn radio.
It's about right.
It could have been about 100,000 things this year.
Later on this morning, we'll be counting down the top 10 moments with of the year.
Can't wait.
And there's a lot of our man Kevin in
there. Are we spreading it around a little, or is that focused on mainly one person?
Well, everybody's eligible to be.
Yeah,
there, there might not be that much of you this year.
Yeah.
You don't know. But every once in a while, something that Kevin says is so useful that it goes beyond the moment with category and gets into sound bites. And how many times have we played and enjoyed Kevin bringing up this salient point that has nothing to do with whatever we were talking about at the time?
And the terrorist, you know, situation.
That is number 7. And if you'll recall, Kevin, you said that when we were having a conversation about something that had nothing to do with the terrorist situation.
Yeah, I don't... I can't help with that. I don't know what happens.
If you're just joining us, we're counting down the top 10 sound bites of 2014. All right, now number 6 is a little unusual because I couldn't decide between three very similar sound bites. Because this is the year of the hang up on the Kevin and Bean show. You're about to hear a moment from hanging up on Bono, hanging up on actress Brooke Shields, and hanging up on Paul Mother Effing McCartney. And it sounded something like this.
Thanks, dude. Okay. Bye-bye. Look.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in L.A. I listen to you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
You're the hang-up.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about that for 2015?
I don't know.
Keep doing what we're doing?
Yep.
Number five on the list, also listener submitted, and thank you so much for this. This year, once again, we said, hey, how about some new Halloween music? Maybe it's time to retire some of the classics, and what do you got for us out there? And we had a listener who sent us in a tape of a Halloween song that he had recorded in his attic, if I recall, at around, what, age 9 or 10?
When he was 10, yeah.
And we fell so deeply in love with it that we got a lot of use out of this.
We asked for that for Halloween, and then on Halloween, we forgot to play it.
That's right.
That's how we roll.
Number four, the top 10 sound bites of 2014. Another one that we had a lot of fun. No, not now. Not now. Another one that we had a lot of fun with. We particularly like it when Ralph is trying to do the showbiz beat and actually impart information to you people, and he asks us for a clip of something.
Yeah.
And my favorite of all the ones that we played instead of what he was asking for was this one.
It's pretty strong.
Number three is a woman that we fell very deeply in love with in 2014. Her daughter is Kat Corbett, who works here on K-Rock and does the show After Hours.
This is painful.
She did a series of commercials with Kat selling Mercedes. And when you hear her voice, it just makes you just want to spend all the time in the world with her because she's delightful. And here's our number three.
Sounds great.
Man, oh man.
Number two, when you look back on the news that was big in 2014, you only have to look at Time Magazine. Their person of the year was Ebola fighters. Ebola was one of the biggest stories around the world. We escaped, not too many deaths here in the United States, but a lot of places had it real bad. But at least a great, great song came out of it. And this is our number two soundbite of 2014.
Ebola, Ebola, don't touch your friend.
That's a catchy song right there.
Sure
isn't
is.
It? All right, so those are the top nine. Anyone have any thoughts, any guesses, anything you've been kind of waiting for? Hey, it's got to be on there. Why haven't I heard it yet?
Man, yeah. No. I don't have a guess.
Give me some echo here. Number one on the top 10 sound bites of 2014.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
As Kevin explained to us, Billy D. Williams apparently has a wooden hand and not instead Carl Weathers from the Adam Sandler movie. So there you go. There's your top 10. Thanks for listening.
How dare you.
Oh,
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 6.
We're going to hook you up with a chance maybe to go to Australia to see Linkin Park in Sydney at 9:10 this morning. You win the new Linkin Park album, Living Things, and you're eligible for the grand prize drawing. We do, I assume, at the end of this week to send you down under. All the details at krock.com. A few minutes ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, we were talking about the Al Roker from the Today Show, talking about him pooping his pants at the White House.
He poops in your pants.
I poop my pants.
And I was thinking, you know who loves that story more than anyone in the world is our friend DJ Omar Khan,
awesome.
Who joins us in studio. Hey, Omar, how are you?
Skirt!
Now, what's the problem here? Bean, I hate to see two employees not get along.
I know.
He's been complaining for quite some time, Omar, about your Twitter, which you just started.
I know, and I barely tweet. Where's the hate, Bean?
Why do you need to unfollow Omar?
I know.
Here's the problem, is that I love Omar. I don't know that Omar would consider me a close friend.
Absolutely not.
I like Omar very, very much.
But having said that, no one would consider you a close friend.
Right.
Omar is absolutely one of my favorite people at K-Rock, and I was really excited when he joined Twitter a couple of months ago because, you know, it's nice to kind of hear from the boy. I don't get a chance to talk to him that much at work. Nice to hear from him, right? But Omar is so fascinated with his own poop that I don't even feel like I know him anymore. And I don't really know – I mean
– That's all you need to know him.
Yeah, Mike Catherwood was the same way, by the way, but at least Mike would talk about other things occasionally. Omar is so poop-centric that I just – it worries me that he's an adult who has his own child. Like, how does somebody grow up and survive in the world if all they ever think about is what's coming out of their butt?
Because it's awesome. It's very funny. And everybody poops.
Right, but why are you so fascinated with poop? Look, Kevin, you raised children. Don't most kids go through that phase and get through it at age like 3? Yeah,
of course. And then they're not as fascinated.
Right,
but
I think, you know,
Omar's stuck there.
But for me, it's like I know people are reading these tweets and going, aw.
And that for me is really super funny.
Nothing brings Omar more joy than, oh.
Absolutely, well, yeah, I love that.
Let me give you a couple of examples here, and maybe you'll see why I'm debating. As much as I like Omar as a person, I'm debating just pulling the plug on having him in my life on Twitter. And Lisa, are you following Omar, Lisa?
No.
What?
You're not?
Come on.
No.
All right. Right before Halloween is when Omar joined Twitter, and one of his first tweets was, gonna wrap some of my brown log in Hershey wrappers, king size bars if you trick or treat at my house.
That's funny, dude.
And I don't look, there's nothing interesting to me about thinking about you handing out logs at the door at Halloween.
That visual cracks me up.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
In the Christmas season, Chip and I always tweet each other. You know, she'll tweet me what you're making, and I'll tweet back fruitcake. It's just a thing that we do, right?
That's hilarious, by the way.
Thank you. Omar jumps into our conversation. Hey, guys, I'm making something big and brown. And again, I'm just having a funny.
Okay, now I'm following you. I'm changing it right now.
At DJ Omar Khan, people. At DJ Omar Khan.
But Chip and I are just, you know, having a laugh, enjoying the holiday season, making some fruitcake jokes. Keeping it light. And I don't want to think about your bowels during that. I don't want you to ruin my holiday season.
Oh, so you don't want me to have a laugh? You don't want me to have a good time during the holidays as well?
Here's Omar, not have fun.
That's a good point.
Here's Omar on Thanksgiving night, okay, after his big dinner. What do you think is on Omar's mind after he enjoys Thanksgiving?
God. Let me think.
Does he need to tweet these words, quote, biggest dump of the year is on the way, end quote? Who needs that? Does anyone need that?
Was there a follow-up? Did it actually?
Did I tweet a picture?
I don't know. But I'm saying, was it actually, or did it just feel like it?
It was pretty close.
All right.
It was pretty close. I did eat a lot.
Here's one from December 15th. I didn't click on the picture. The tweet is making tamales. Now, I don't know if he was really making tamales.
No, he's got a lot of code words.
Yeah. I was terrified that if I clicked on that picture, I would in fact see the tamales. Well, I mean, what should I do, you guys? I like Omar. I want to follow Omar on Twitter.
Follow him.
Yeah. He's only tweeting about poop, though.
That's funny.
Who has time for that?
By the way, on Twitter, I've been on Twitter, a couple of months or whatever. It's so easy to skip by the people who are just, you know, stuff that you're not really interested in.
Of course.
99% of the people I follow, I thought were going to be interesting and funny and just suck.
Yeah, that's not
so you just kind of scroll through, you know, really quickly or whatever. So it's not a big deal. How many people do you follow me?
120.
120? So you're not getting a bunch of tweets. Just scroll through mine.
But if all he's doing is scrolling through yours, why wouldn't he just unfollow?
Yeah, what's the point?
I mean, has he ever...
Because occasionally he'll see my tweet and he'll go, aw.
No, but that brings you joy, not him. Not him.
All right, a couple more, and you guys can decide whether I'm making the right move if I unfollow. Fact, the ladies love the smell of farts. Am I right, ladies? Hashtag ass burp.
Now I have to unfollow you again.
What?
That's pretty good.
You're right?
One more. I'm coming out with my own eau de toilette. It's called Le Fart, and my fragrance will come from a toilet, not like those other ones, liars.
No more laughs.
At least I'm putting some work into my tweets. I'm not just saying, hey, good morning, or hey, check this website out. A bunch of people just waste your time on Twitter.
That's not what you're doing.
Nope. I'm bringing you quality poop humor.
He aggressively loves his poop.
He does.
I think our relationship is going off.
Are you kidding?
I think we're going to be friends in person only from now on, son. I'm sorry.
I thought you'd like to stay current with my b-hole, dude.
The incredible Black Keys on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We'll talk to the K-Rock listener who won their touring van coming up in less than an hour right here on the show. Plus, LaQuisha looks at last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I hate to ask you to do this for me, Beer Bug, but since the monkey's out today, you're going to have to tell us what's on the wheel. We're getting ready to spin the wheel of Bad Animal Voices. What are our choices today?
We have Doomsday Prepper Survival Kitty.
Survival Kitty.
I know. We need to talk to a Survival Kitty.
The Badass Super Soldier Ants. Mm-hmm. Harvey Dent, the Two-Faced Kitten. Erwin, the Formerly Paralyzed Kangaroo.
Okay.
Florence, the Shark That Turned Vegetarian.
Wow.
Toto, the Tornado Kitten. The Icelandic Worm Monster. The Party Crashing Cows. Meow, the 39-pound Cat in Heaven. Houdini, the Australian Runaway Goat. And last but not least, a mouthful of the albino cyclops shark.
Mm. I want to talk to every single one of them. I wish they were all having a party together. They could just hand the phone back and forth in the room. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday, it's time to spin the wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the
Evan and Bean Show.
Wow. Rock that wheel.
It's the Party Crashing Cow!
Yay!
How did beer-guzzling cows crash party and drink up the suds. Boxford, Massachusetts. Listen to this. Actually, I believe we have an audio story on this, a news report on the cows.
Talk about party animals. Cows on the loose in Boxford. Belly up to the bar for a few beers in a backyard.
Well, yeah, they enjoyed it. There's no doubt about it. They went right for the beer, and when one was done, they would knock another one over and take care of that beer.
Boxford police say they heard screams, and then a group of women took off when a half dozen cows crashed their backyard party. The thirsty bovines eagerly helped themselves to the brewskis left behind.
They got up as the cows went towards the table. They stepped back, and the cows took over the table, began knocking over the beers with their noses, drinking the beer off the table. They went to the recycling bin to find any leftovers.
Lieutenant Ryder says it's possible there may have been some underage drinking going on, but he says he would know because he can't tell the age of a cow.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Those cows should have killed everyone involved in that report. All right, let's talk to the beer-guzzling cows who crashed the party in Boxford, Massachusetts. Hello.
Hey, what's up, dude?
How are you, Mr. Cow?
I'm righteous. How are you?
Yeah, you sound like you guys were having a pretty good time at that Memorial Day party, right?
We drank all their brewskis, man.
Yeah, that's what I heard in the report, right?
Free brewskis. Who could turn down free brewskis? Not me, dude. Not me.
So what were you guys doing? You just a herd of cattle just walking down the street just looking for something? Somebody having a party or what?
Yeah, man, we had nothing better to do. You know, we just looked around the neighborhood, and one of my buddies said, "Yo, dude, I heard they're having a party over there at that house." I said, "Well, guess what? That party just got a little bit bigger." Yeah, party!
Oh my god!
Oh, you're still drinking. Yeah. Sounds like you guys are still putting it back, huh?
Oh, that's hot. That's so good.
Yeah. I didn't know that, I have had cows in my life. I've never given them beer. I didn't know they enjoyed the taste of beer.
Oh, really? Didn't? Yeah. What's beer made out of, dude?
I guess.
Grain!
Yeah, I guess that's right.
What
I guess
do cows eat, dude?
Yeah, grain. I guess it makes a lot of sense.
Grain!
You're the most enthusiastic cow I've ever talked to in my whole life.
We love grain. We love brewskis. We love to party.
Yeah,
cows love to party, man. You know what we like to do? We like to get all loaded up on brewskis and go out and find some people who are sleeping and tip them over.
Oh, really? You guys do that too, huh?
It's so awesome to go people tipping.
I never even thought about it that way. What about the women? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Slow down, dude. Slow down.
You slow down, old man.
No, I'm just saying, you don't need to still be drinking at this hour of the day.
You don't need to still be whatever you said, old man.
What about the women at the party who run away because some cows walk up to the picnic table? What about that?
Yeah, bitches. Stuck up bitches. No. We show up, they're like, "Oh, cows are here. We're not going to take off. We're not going to, bang any cows." Well, screw you, bitches.
Well, I don't think anybody was talking about banging any cows.
We don't like your tiny human boobs anyway. See, boobs on a cow, they're huge, man.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I got like 19 nipples. They're awesome.
Yeah, you do win. You are
cow
the
boobs rule. Cow boobs rule. Okay.
Dude, you need to lay down or something. This
you
is
need to lay down, old man.
This
forever.
Exhausting.
You need to lay down in front of traffic, man.
I'm glad you guys had such a great Memorial Day weekend. Sounds like a hell of a party.
Hi, Omar.
Hey.
What's happening? Hello.
Where'd your new inspiration come from? Omar came in so happy earlier in the week. He's like, "Bean, I got something I think you're going to like." I'm like, "What's up?"
I can't take all the credit. Dave, the King of Mexico, actually came up with the idea. He came up with one line, and I was like, "Oh, that's magic," and I came up with the rest. And
why did you feel, I was going to ask the question, why did you feel it is necessary to create another new tribute to our man Kevin? But I guess it's because it's easy when Kevin delivers the way he does every single day to take it for granted. It's like you look at Kobe Bryant. He goes out there every single night and he blows your mind.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you don't give him the credit for that because he's just that good. That's just what he does. But occasionally you need to stop the presses and go, "Hey, let's all be aware of the history that we're watching here."
Exactly. This is a little tribute. It's more like a highlight reel.
But the difference is that I go out and put up air balls every night.
But consistently, though.
So
that's the thing.
So why is it that we need a tribute to that?
Because I love you.
You don't love me.
And the people love you.
You don't love me. The people don't love me.
It's nothing but love, man.
And I also think, much like you have the Zsa Zsa Gabor obituary package ready to go for whatever that day comes, I feel like we don't want to be caught empty-handed when, you know, that day you don't show up for real and for good. I feel like we're gonna need to have something to play so people can remember you by.
I see.
Excellent point.
So I guess it was Dave's idea. So he came to Omar
Stupid
and he said,
"Stupid Dave.
Yeah.
How about that new Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, and Bruno Mars song that is getting so much airplay right now? I'm sure you guys have heard this song, but here's a hook of it just to remind you which one we're talking about.
So what, we get drunk. So what, we smoke weed. We're just having fun. We don't care who sees.
Yeah, great song. So yeah, awesome Omar song. Has taken that and he has used that as the basis for this brand new tribute to Kevin. What's this called, Omar? Does this even have a name?
Let's call it Kevin's Drunkie.
Okay. Hit it, Steve.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about?
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 K-R-O-K. We've got a special guest to talk to about it.
It's like you take a, you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years. We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red. Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. And how often have you used it? Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
Where was you?
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak.
How dare you.
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta to about 200...
2007. Oh my God!
I saw him as a What do you call him?
I don't.
Guy that does color commentary. By the way, just for the movie theaters, all site, all do not. There's no all. There's no. It's not a hard one, but if you heard it,
but it is the way you heard it.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Yeah. Not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his. You don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it, like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just did hours.
What?
Hours.
But the photo shoot didn't look good.
So what, he sounds wrong.
Come on.
So what, he can speak. Maybe he's dumb.
Oh my God.
He's special needs. What's he talking about?
Now that's par for the cake. For the
course.
It's not over.
I got Maros.
So that's a toss up. You need disadvantage in this story. When good men fail to stand up, bad yes. Triumphs or whatever that is. We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot? That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K-Rock.
I
need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time. I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude.
I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what? What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry. Omar is literally... literally running around the studio.
You know, my biggest problem with that is because, like, a lot of times when we do these songs, we got to keep them about a minute and a half, 2 minutes at tops. I told Bean, dude, I have too many clips. We got to leave it all in.
Come on now.
You made the right decision.
Yeah, thank you.
Totally.
Thank you.
No wonder every time we go to Omar to do something, he's like, I'm too busy. No wonder.
We have to play this over and over and over.
Right?
This is the best.
Thank you. Have to.
The problem was, how do you know when you're done, right? You could have done another 10 verses
exactly,
if you wanted.
Totally,
that's what's amazing.
Man,
no. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Omar Khan. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
I feel like you need one of those helmets.
I am moving. I didn't realize that I still need to live in Arizona.
Oh, you're going back really? Home? Why?
I moved to California in 1989, and now it's time for me to go back because there's a very real possibility that the next Arizona governor might be fat actor Steven Seagal.
Well, who could be more qualified?
Steven Seagal, who you know we love. This is a guy who did martial arts movies, mm-hmm. Under Siege and stuff like that, a bunch of two-word and three-word titles. For what, 80s and 90s?
Yeah, he was very popular for a long time. He was quite the big action star, but lately it seems like all we've seen him on is law enforcement reality TV shows. That seems to be where he spends most of his time.
Yeah, and he's got a new one called Steven Seagal Lawman Maricopa County.
Ooh.
So he was doing an interview on a Phoenix TV station and said this.
Joe Arpaio and I were talking about me running for governor. I suppose I would remotely consider it, but probably I would have a lot of other responsibilities that may be more important to address.
Sweet. Like speaking up. You know,
I don't know what any of that meant.
If immigration is his big issue, as we heard yesterday from Ralph Garman of the Showbiz Beat, wouldn't being the Arizona governor be the single best job to have if you're trying to improve immigration control in Arizona?
I would think so.
And seems like being the governor's where exactly where you'd want to be.
And the guy talking is a no-nonsense sheriff that gets a lot of crap, or I don't know what he is in Arizona, but he's the guy that's trying to talk him into running. And if he becomes the governor, sayonara, people.
I know. Who can blame him? Well, we wanted to find out more about Governor Seagal, so I believe we have Steven Seagal on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Steven. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Did we catch you at a bad time?
No, not at all. Why do you say that?
Well, it just sounds like you might be in the middle of some yoga or meditation or something.
I am constantly in meditation. I keep my spirit open to the entire world at all times.
Does that music play 24/7?
Yes.
Okay.
This way I'm always open to my surroundings. Because when you're a sheriff, when you're a crime fighter, you need to be aware of everything in your surroundings.
Right.
Okay.
Both your assailant and also the situation that you find yourself in.
I see.
Because all things are potential weapons or potential shields.
Okay.
And I think that anything that you can use at your disposal.
Right.
It's important to be prepared for.
Now, what was all that mumbo-jumbo about having more important things to do?
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, he's been trying to convince me to run for governor in the great state of Arizona.
Right.
And I think I have more...
what is that?
Important
That's
responsibility.
It's the noise he made in the interview to the TV station.
I know, but my question is, what is that? Is it a stroke? What's going on with you, Stephen? Are you okay?
Sometimes the spirit moves me.
I see.
Sometimes being aware of all your surroundings at one time
right.
can be an influx.
Be overwhelming, probably.
Exactly.
Imagine.
Because my senses are heightened.
Right.
Right.
Being a Shaolin master.
Yeah.
I'm aware of all things at all times.
Everything is a weapon. Everything is a shield, bro.
Exactly.
So, Governor Seagal, if that were to happen, if you were to be Governor Seagal, what changes would you make in the state of Arizona? What would you like to see different in your state?
Hello?
Steven, you're right.
Governor Seagal?
What's happening?
Are you laughing?
Sorry.
Something funny is coming in that none of us know about?
Did Omar drop trow in there? What happened?
The universe just told me something very funny.
What was it?
I can't share it.
Share it with us.
I can't. Because you're not a Shaolin master. First thing I would do in Arizona, given the opportunity, kill all the Mexicans.
What are you talking about? Obviously genocide. What's happening here?
They're not above the law.
A movie title.
Okay, that was one of your films.
All right. Another movie title that you're in. I don't know how much time you spent in Arizona, but it's 99% Mexican.
See?
See what?
Right there.
No, it seems to be working perfectly.
That's why Governor Steven Seagal would change things.
I'm not sure we're looking for the next Hitler.
Mexico.
Yeah, I got to be honest. Doesn't seem Mexico right.
Will be under siege.
The movie title.
All right.
But of course, being a Buddhist.
Yeah, how does that work?
I'm torn between peace and love and murder and genocide.
Well, sounds like you have some issues to work out before we can seriously consider. Yeah,
but
not at all.
Being a Buddhist, of course. Being a Buddhist.
You okay, Steven? Being a Buddhist.
I'll have to consult.
What?
I'll have to consult with my higher power.
And who's your higher power?
I have to sit down with my llama.
Your llama? Your llama gives you Ladies and gentlemen, we're back.
We already alerted the Museum of Television Radio. They're rolling tape. Right? They're recording on this one. I just want to make sure this one goes right into the archives. That's all. He is a very, very talented musician. His name is Samus Policelli. He is in a couple of bands. He shreds on guitar. He's a great drummer. He's a great singer. He's living the heavy metal lifestyle. But the video that has catapulted him to superstardom, one of the biggest videos of the year that we ever put on the Internet Roundup, nearing a million views, is called Fart Metal. Here's Samus. Listen.
Voice.
He does. And I know that our listeners hear that and they go, that's fantastic, but what have you done for me lately? Well, this is what Samus has done for us lately. We couldn't be more excited to welcome the man, the legend, fart musician Samus Policelli on the show with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Samus, how are you, sir?
Oh, yeah. How's it going?
It's going great.
It's going good before
Look,
you did that.
Here's the thing. As I said when I intro'd you, you're obviously a very talented musician. You've got tons of records out, great videos. You sing, you play. How did the whole farting thing happen?
I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, I was, perverted like that. My parents were always farting, so I was always farting. And
That's a beautiful, beautiful story.
I don't know.
Do you remember the first time you got the idea, hey, I'm going to start recording it?
When I got an iPhone, actually, last year for Christmas, and I discovered the voice recorder.
Right.
So, I just started recording my farts just for the fun of it, and then after about a year of that, I had a pretty good amount of farts. So I was like, man, I got to do something with these. There's got to be a reason because some of these farts are really good.
There has to be a reason. Is that a sentence that's ever been said before? Hey, some of these farts are pretty good. So what do you do then? Then you take all those actual real sounds and sequence them, put them on a keyboard or something, and then just play them like you would any other musical instrument?
No, actually, what I ended up doing is I just said, okay, I'm just going to write a beat and put some farts on it. So I just wrote those drums first, and then I just threw all the farts into my recording session, and I just, timed them to the drums, and then I was like, oh, man, this is getting really hilarious. All right, so then I added guitars, and then I was like, okay, fart metal, here we go.
So in the fart metal video, then, the one that has been seen almost a million times now, you're basically lip syncing with your butt as we watch you kind of pretend to make those sounds that we're hearing on the track. You're b-hole syncing.
Right. In the fart metal video, obviously in the video, the farts aren't live, but they're all real. In the Star Wars, that one's live, but
that one's not live.
What's up?
That's not live. You can't. Nobody can do that. I'm calling
the
BS.
The Star Wars one?
Yeah.
I could do it right now if you want.
But we may take you up on that, but let's talk about that for a second. So you're saying that the 20-second video of you doing the Imperial March from Star Wars, that was recorded in one take live with those sounds being made by your body.
Oh, yeah. It took me like 2 hours to do that. I was standing there doing it take after take, but it's hard to get the pitches.
How do you play different notes? How does that happen?
You kind of just have to, move your cheek muscles, accordingly. And it takes a long time of practice, I must say.
Well, worth it.
But you got to...
But I'm saying... I mean, you're right. Those notes are right on.
They're pretty close. They're pretty close.
So you're able to change the pitch of what the sound of the fart is just by the way you move your butt.
You've never done that before?
No!
No!
That's astonishing.
I like that he's disappointed in us.
Now, Kevin, tell Samus what you were saying before we got him on the phone about how there's no, you did had no possibility in your mind that this was possible that he could do it live. Right?
It has to be sampled on a keyboard because how do you hit notes? I can't.
I told you.
I know you told us, but I don't think it's possible.
How did you make so – I don't want to get too graphic here, Samus, but how did you do – how did you tape for 2 hours before you got that perfect take? Like, what were you eating to generate so much air?
That's a good question.
I'll give away the food. It's usually beans and raw broccoli is a good kick. Oof. And usually if I want to speed up the process, I add lots of milk. But usually the beans and raw broccoli is pretty good. Black bean soup, too, really helps.
And it must be so frustrating for you when you're laying down a take and you get close to the end and then you're just out. You've got no more farts.
Another good follow-up question.
That's the worst part, especially when I got to the end and the last note just doesn't sound good. It's like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. And then I have to wait a couple more minutes and then try to, like, suck in. I'm not going to explain it. But
this is unbelievable. What kind of reaction? I know you get a lot of great reaction from your fans online. The success of the videos is evident. But what reaction do you get from actual friends and actual family?
Well, obviously my mom was pretty embarrassed with fart metal because it was, you know, blowing up all over the internet. She's like, oh no, why did you have to do something like this to get famous? I'm like, it's okay, mom. It's just, you know, it's for a joke. But everyone else is like, oh dude, that's awesome, blah, blah, blah. And actually, surprisingly, my wife's really proud of me too. She thinks it's really
cool. You have a wife?
Oh yeah.
What?
It was funny. It was her idea for me to put the Star Wars fart video up too. She's awesome.
Aren't you only like 27 years old, Samus?
I am 27. Very
and you
good.
And you already have a wife and this career. That's remarkable, man.
Well, I actually just got married the end of August this year.
She must be very proud. She's a lucky lady.
All right. Are you ready for a little live farting? Would you mind before we say goodbye? Could we get a little live farting?
Yeah, just talk about something else for about 30 seconds. Let me try to
see. Okay.
Got to power up the keyboard?
No
keyboard, Kevin. Come on, man. I'm convinced. Samus is on YouTube, by the way, at 66 Samus. That's 66 S-A-M-U-S if you want to see his videos. And you definitely want to look for fart metal, and you definitely want to look for the Star Wars Imperial March. And he's in a band called Eliminator that has like 5 albums out where he plays guitar and sings. Like I said, very talented musician.
No,
are you going to –
No.
You gonna, know
what?
Eliminator. What's that?
No. Eliminator's not doing anything right now. I'm just doing my solo.
Oh, you got solo. Okay. All right. Well, they couldn't keep up with you anyway, man.
That's okay.
All right. What do you get? You going to play something for us, or are we just going to hear some random noise here?
Well, I've been working on a new thing where I don't know if I should really explain it too much, but I kind of, you know, tap my finger over it a little bit and, you know, make it kind of staccato, and it's kind of fun.
We would very much enjoy hearing that, Sam.
What do we really?
I'm trying to picture this, but all right.
Do it real quick. Don't worry. I won't make it.
Okay. We're excited.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, come on. Samus Policelli, thanks so much for joining us at the Kevin Beach Show. We enjoyed talking to you, sir.
My pleasure, man. Thanks.
Oh, this is a magical day.